International Women's Day, celebrating the social, economic, cultural and political achievements of women in association with Ishke Éireann.
Yes, indeed. And the International Women's Day 2023 hashtag Embrace Equality campaign theme seeks to get the world talking about why equal opportunities are no longer enough and can in fact be exclusionary rather than inclusive. Well, joining me on the line this morning now is Aisling Buckley. She is an engineer and technical communications strategy lead with Ishke Éireann. Aisling, good morning and good to talk to you and happy International Women's Day.
Good morning, Owen. Thanks very much. Happy International Women's Day to you too. We're celebrating it in Ishke Éireann here this morning.
Absolutely.
I'm delighted to do so.
Definitely. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Aisling, and the work that you do with Ishke Éireann.
Yeah, so I'm a project communications lead in Ishke Éireann. That means that I work on the communications aspect of all of our large infrastructure projects. So that would be water and wastewater projects. So I suppose where we have projects maybe going into planning, we have to let people know about them in advance, give people a chance to have their say on what our proposed solution is for maybe a water treatment plant or a wastewater treatment plant in their area. Before we begin construction, we have to let people know that we're going to be, you know, building in their area and maybe how it will impact them and for how long. And then during the construction of a project, obviously, then there may be, you know, things like, you know, traffic diversions. We might even have to close a road because it might be the safest and the quickest way to put a pipeline in a road, for example. So all of those things are very important. They're technical projects, but we have to be able to communicate well about them to the communities who are impacted by them and the businesses and the schools. And that's what I do. I suppose I work in that area, managing a team of people who work on communications on our projects right across the country.
Okay, can we take it back a little bit, Aisling, and ask the obvious question, how and why you got involved and qualified as an engineer? Was it always something that you wanted to do?
No, I have to be honest, it wasn't actually. So when I would have been in like the senior cycle of secondary school, I was considering a few different things. I suppose science and maths were something I was always very good at and I really enjoyed. So we had a few progressive teachers, this is a long time ago now, but they kind of said, what about engineering? And so that was one thing I was considering. I was also thinking about a teacher because I suppose communications is something I was good at as well and I liked it. And then the other one was physiotherapy. So I decided that I would give them all a go in transition year. And the one that really jumped out to me, I did work experience in each of those roles. The one that really jumped out to me was engineering. And I suppose it was because of the varied aspects of it. You know, you could be on site one minute, you could be climbing up a mountain, like looking at a potential site, or, you know, even going out to see a river, maybe looking at drawings, meeting people, you know, sitting at your desk, working, looking at drawings, planning things. So I liked that you could do lots of different things in one day and that no 2 days were ever the same. I think that kind of really jumped out to me. And I suppose it had the engineering, the maths, the science side of things. So I went off to Galway to college and studied environmental engineering.
Very good. And when you were in college then, were there many other women in the course or were you kind of in a minority?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose like we were, the civil and environmental classes were together in UCG at the time. And I suppose there was probably, you know, 1 to 6 would be have been the ratio, maybe girls to boys.
Right.
Look, like, I think, to be honest with you, what helped me as well is seeing and meeting other women engineers. So when I did my work experience, I worked with one lady who was just a great engineer and kind of inspired me to go off and do it. And then I also went to CIT for a little while when I was in transition year, and I tried out all the engineering courses in there for a week. It was a Women in Engineering week that was kind of encouraging women to come into college and try out all the disciplines of engineering. So that really helped as well. Of course, women were in the minority. But having said that, I think, you know, the saying goes, you can see what you can be. And I really believe that. So I suppose I'm always out talking about engineering as a career for boys and girls in school, just to consider it, because it's a nice career. And if you're not really sure, you know, in lots of ways, it can open lots of doors for you. Like, so I would have started off very much in a technical engineering role. And then I guess I spotted an opportunity that, you know, we needed to be out speaking about our projects, and I went back to college and studied public relations. So that's how I ended up in this area of project communications. And I suppose that kind of, I can add the most value in that area because it has both the technical and the communications side.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I think it does work in both ways. There are barriers that have to be broken down for women in terms of getting into the likes of science, technology, engineering and maths. But even a couple of weeks ago, we spoke on this show about how maybe men were turning down opportunities working in nursing or working in childcare because they were afraid of what people might think of them. But as you say, Aisling, it's all about doing what you want to do, because if you don't follow your chosen career path or something that you've always wanted to do, you're going to end up unhappy and working in not your dream job.
Absolutely. And I think that's what it's all about when you're young, just to try as many things as you can, find your niche. And once you do, it gets much easier from there on. And the other thing about it is people don't really stay in one career these days. You know, it's not like it was, I suppose, maybe for the generation before, even me. But God, I suppose I'm pushing on myself now. But, you know, I think for everybody, like, I think it's good to try something, find your niche, and then it gets easier. And look, you can always change. Like me, you know, going from engineering into communications, people have two or three or four different jobs in their careers these days. So, you know, give something a go, and if it's not really right, you'll find where you're meant to be. I think you'll end up where you're meant to be anyway, definitely.
Do you think it is getting better, though, and those barriers are being broken down, maybe, say, from even when you went to college to nowadays, the present day?
I do, and I think, you know, like Engineers Ireland are great. They have a STEPS programme whereby, you know, engineers are out in schools every day talking about engineering as a career, doing experiments with kids. So that might just kind of, you know, strike a chord with some of the children who you go out to meet. And I'm going to my daughter's school on Friday of this week now and going to talk about engineering to her class. So I think the more that you, again, you can see what you can be, the more people who you see doing a job and you hear about something that you like about the job, it just plants a seed, no matter what that is, whether that's engineering or, as you said a while ago, for boys to go into those other roles like nursing. You know, we need diversity in every aspect of work, in the work life, you know, and in every aspect of life as well, actually. Everybody's voices sitting around the table makes for a much, much better place to work, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me about some of the projects that you've worked on maybe in this area around Kildare or the Eastern Midlands region, some of the projects that stick out for you?
Yeah, so years ago I would have worked on two projects in Kildare. One was in Newbridge, which was a new sewer pipeline in Newbridge, and I suppose that project was to allow for more growth and development in the Newbridge area. Now, that was a long time ago. But again, it was just increasing capacity for things like businesses and housing in the Newbridge area. Another one was in Ballymore Eustace Water Treatment Plant, where I would have worked on an upgrade to the plant. And that plant supplies like almost 1 million people in the greater Dublin area with water every day. But more recently now, I've been working on the Regional Water Resources Plan, the Eastern and Midlands aspect of that. And it's a really brilliant project looking like 25, 50 years ahead across the entire country of Ireland to see how we're going to have a sustainable and robust water supply for every, I suppose, customer in Ireland into the future. So, you know, we have to take things like population growth into account, things like climate change. You know, they're making climate change, I suppose, is really impacting us in Ireland. We don't have as much rain anymore. And I mean, even just this winter, there hasn't been as much rain as we would have kind of traditionally thought in Ireland. So, you know, things like drought in the summer, we have to look ahead and how these things are going to change over the next 25, 50 years and how we're going to provide a robust supply of water to customers. So I suppose that project was nice because it had my technical and my communications skills, you know, were useful there because we were out for public consultation. We were asking people, look, this is our plan for how we're going to supply your water for the next 25 years. Are you in agree? Like, do you agree with what we're proposing? Is there something we haven't thought of? Can you have a look at our plans? And if you want to submit feedback to us, do that. So we adopted that plan late last year. And yeah, I suppose what will come from that, it's a very high level plan, but what will come for that are lots of projects, new pipelines, new water treatment plants. And, you know, that's that's a long-term plan. So we're being very strategic and looking ahead, looking far ahead. And we have some brilliant technical people working in that area. And I suppose my skills then would be on the communication side and being the bridge between the communities who these projects will impact and the engineering side of it, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to put to you, the communication side of your job now. So you're qualified as an engineer, but working in the technical communications strategy lead now role. What's the difference there? What does that job entail?
Yeah, so I suppose that's what it is, really. I mean, it's the way I see it is like it's communicating about our projects. So, you know, I mean, whether they might be long term plans, you know, making sure that all of the people who need to know about them know, like, so the communities, you know, the stakeholders that we would have, like from an environmental point of view, you know, from, I suppose, every aspect of society, businesses, you know, we need to, I suppose, talk to them, like, are our plans right for the future? Then I suppose, like, on the project side of it, when we're actually delivering our projects, making sure that people know, as I mentioned earlier on, if there's going to be a road closure, you know, I mean, it's really, there's so much involved in delivering a project. So it might even come down to like making sure that we're not like building during the leaving cert and the junior cert outside of school. Do you know that kind of stuff? So we have to have community liaison officers on our big projects to make sure that we're getting it right and that the project is being delivered as safely as possible and with as minimal impact as possible on the communities in those areas. So I suppose that would, I suppose it's kind of like a bridge in a way between the engineering and the technical side and the communities as well, and just making sure that we get the word out there about the work that we're doing and that the project, I suppose, you know, clear communication is key to the successful delivery of a project, really, you know, and that's really important.
Okay, finally then, Aisling, just as a parting message, what would your advice be to young women that are considering a career in science, technology, engineering or maths, or contemplating studying in that field? You might just reiterate that advice there.
Yeah, I think, as again, just to go back to it, you know, find your passion and follow it. And if it's, you know, science, technology, engineering and maths, then go for it. If they're your strengths, you'll enjoy them. There's no reason why you won't be as good or even better than everyone else who's doing it. Don't let being a woman hold you back in any way. And I suppose I'm trying to always change the, you know, the stereotypical view of an engineer being a man in a hard hat with the high-vis jacket, you know, so women can do that as well. And I think, look, I work with some fantastic women engineers in Irish Water and women communications professionals as well. And I think it comes back to you can be what you can see. So, you know, if you're thinking about it, try and talk to people who are working in that area, ask them loads of questions, and then at least you'll be, you know, feeling a bit more confident about the path that you choose to go down in your career in the future.
Very well said. That's Aisling Buckley, Engineer and Technical Communications Strategy Lead with Ishka Éireann. Thanks indeed for joining us this morning, Aisling. And of course, you can get more information on Ishka Éireann's website, water.ie, or you can check them out on social media as well.
International Women's Day, celebrating the social, economic, cultural and political achievements of women in association with Ishka Éireann.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, to mark International Women's Day, which is today, there is a march taking place this evening from 5:30, meeting at the Spire in Dublin and marching to Dáil Éireann. Joining me on the line is Ruth Coppinger, former Solidarity TD and Rosa member. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, hi.
Tell us a little bit, first of all, about Rosa, the organisation and group, who you are and what you stand for.
Well, Rosa actually celebrated our 10th anniversary there this week. We set up Rosa shortly after the horrific and tragic death of Savita Halapanavar, after, you know, being prevented from having an abortion, etc. And we decided that we needed to campaign actively on that issue, but also on other issues like gender-based violence, you know, economic and the lack of equal pay, all of the issues facing women, LGBT people as well. And we played an active role in the repeal campaign on the streets, highlighting the abortion pills, highlighting the reality of abortion. But also, we've played a key role, I think, in putting gender-based violence on the political agenda. But there's way more needs to be done because, and that's primarily the reason for the march today, is there's an epidemic of gender-based violence worldwide. We've seen it in Ireland with the highest number of women killed last year in a decade. You know, we saw a rise in gender-based violence during the pandemic. And we're also marching to highlight the ongoing failure on the housing crisis, with women and children being the main victims of that. And now this horrific decision, a societal disaster, to lift the eviction ban, which is going to directly mean that women and children will be on the streets in this country. There's no doubt now about that, unless we force them to withdraw this proposal, which is pro-landlord, pro-vulture fund, and anti-woman and anti-working class people.
Yeah, this march was organised, obviously, before that announcement was made on the eviction ban, but it kind of adds further fuel to the fire from your point of view.
It does, because the housing crisis has been allowed to fester in this country for 10 years. I mean, I'm living in an area in Fingal Council where it's one of the richest councils in the country. It has land, and yes, it's not building on that land. And I think that's been mirrored all over the country. It's not just here. And yet we've people in dire situations forking out huge amounts of their income, workers, essential workers, in rent, because of the failure of the government and the state to actually build social and affordable housing for people. That's the root cause of this. And unless that changes, people will be just prey and enthralled to landlords and to private investment funds. And it's a conscious decision on the part of the government to do this. And the eviction ban is now just probably surprised people that they did go ahead with this, because one of the huge changes in the situation compared to last year is emergency accommodation is now practically non-existent, because clearly and rightly we took in people from Ukraine, and I think vast majority of people agree with that. But what it means is that there isn't any leeway in terms of emergency accommodation, and it's actually setting up the situation for racists and the far right to exploit again, because you'll have two vulnerable groups now being posed as competing with each other rather than the greed of, you know, private vested interests that are profiteering off the housing crisis.
How long would you have liked to see the eviction ban stay in place for?
Well, I think it would have to stay in place until they actually resolve the housing crisis in general. You know, there isn't... But just to make it clear, landlords are not prevented from selling their properties. A landlord can sell a property with a tenant in situ. That happens all over the world. I mean, I introduced an anti-eviction bill in the Dáil 2015 or 16 because it was clear it was needed then. Because what landlords were doing, some landlords obviously, I'm not saying everybody, but they were using, I have to sell my property as a way to get people out and increase the rent for the next tenants.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that there may be a desire on people's part to sell, and this could be easily resolved. The state could step in and buy those properties off landlords and then use them as public housing. You know, councils could be buying them. I have a family in contact with me, for example, who have been living in the house for 18 years, so they've practically paid the mortgage in that house. They're faced with eviction in May. And they're trying to get the council to buy the property off the landlord. The landlord's actually willing in this particular situation. That's what should be happening to stop this, to resolve this problem. You don't just lift the ban. You actually implement something whereby the state will buy those properties, and that should have been done years ago.
Okay, some of the other points, as you've touched on there, and the reasoning for this march on International Women's Day to Dáil Éireann, as you mentioned there, the housing emergency, gender-based violence, transphobic hate, racism, etc., etc. Who else are you hoping will come along and support you tonight in that march?
Well, Rosa has been trying for a number of years to implement the idea of marching on International Women's Day, because in other countries, millions of people actually march on this day. I mean, in Spain, for example, in 2017, you had a feminist strike of about 5 to 7 million people. So it is a major day of a movement of women all around the world. And in Ireland, it hasn't been, except for, you know, on occasion, like during repeal. So we're glad we're being supported this year by a range of groups, including the National Women's Council, USI, UCD Students Union, Trinity Students Union, the Women's Collective Ireland. You know, a whole number of groups have gotten behind the idea. I think that what we're hoping is that people see we need to actually organise now to fight for and defend women's rights. They're actually, things are going backwards worldwide, in the sense of, look at the US, where abortion rights are being dismantled, where Walgreens, the biggest pharmacy, is now not stocking abortion pills in a whole load of states. And, you know, that's happening in what's meant to be the cradle and protector of freedoms. And yet women's rights are being pushed back. And we can see that hatred against LGBT people is also being increased. So we have to actually organise, and the far right in particular are trying to weaponise these issues, including fears of violence against women. We can't allow them to do that. These people would actually send our rights backwards if they had the chance. So it's important that young people come out and protest, women, working class people in general, and men who support what we're saying too.
Okay, that march is taking place this evening, meeting at the Spire in Dublin at 5:30 and marching to Dáil Éireann to mark International Women's Day. And that is former Solidarity TD and Rosa member Ruth Coppinger. Thanks, Ruth, and good morning to you. Now, I just see online that sacked school teacher Enoch Burke has once again turned up at his former workplace the day after the appeal judges rejected his appeal against High Court injunctions directing him not to trespass there. He and members of his family had to be removed by force from the four courts yesterday amid chaotic scenes when the judgment was made. Andrew Phelan, Shane Phelan and Connor Feehan writing in The Independent this morning. His younger brother Simeon, who's 24, was charged with threatening, abusive and insulting behaviour. Enoch Burke was driven to the Wilson's Hospital School in Multi Farnham this morning by his father, arriving at 9:10 this morning. He's now resumed the spot that he's taken, standing outside a door of the property as temperatures struggle to rise above 0 degrees. As we know, Burke is being fined €700 a day for every day that he's in contempt of court for breaching the order not to go to the school. Today's arrival at the school means that his fines now stand at €28,700. At the Court of Appeal hearing yesterday, Enoch Burke lost an appeal aimed at overturning court orders preventing him from teaching or attending the school. The three-judge court in separate judgments dismissed the appeal. The delivery of the judgments was interrupted several times, with Gardaí eventually intervening to remove members of the family. You may have seen this on the news last night. Officers moved in and requested that the Burkes leave the courtroom after the court abandoned the delivery of its judgment because of repeated interruptions. There were tense scenes as at least 10 Gardaí arrived in the court to escort the Burkes out, only for members of the family to angrily refuse to comply request to leave. And the latest on that is that Enoch Burke has again turned up at that former workplace, the school in Multi Farnham in County Westmeath. We'll have more on that throughout the day here on KFM. I see a message has come in. Could you please wish my wife Peg Mulreid from Coyle Dove a very happy 52nd wedding anniversary. Lots of love from Tom. So you'll have to get double the presents, Tom. International Women's Day and a 52nd wedding anniversary. So Peg Mulreid, I hope you get spoiled out in Coyle Dove today.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Joining us for Crime Watch this morning is Sergeant Ralph Holmes from Athy Garda Station. Good morning, Ralph.
Morning, Owen.
10 incidents that we're going to get to now. So it's been a busy week for your colleagues. We're going to be going to Kill, Rathangan, Maynooth, Newbridge, Naas, back to Newbridge, Monastrevin, Dunedee and Leixlip. So quite a lot happening here, Ralph. If we start off in Kill, there was a theft there last Wednesday.
That's right. This occurred between about 5:30 on Wednesday, the 1st of March, and 7:15 in the morning on the following morning in the Killeen Beg area of Kill. There was a lock broken on a building site, and quite a lot of building equipment was taken from the premises. Now, we've no leads, no witnesses or CCTV, and I don't have a description of the property taken. But if anyone was in that area around that time, might have seen something unusual, an unusual vehicle or person around the area, if they could contact Naas Gardaí on 045-884-300.
Okay, that's in Killeen Beg in Kill last Wednesday. On the same day, there was a theft in Sheehan in Rathangan.
That's right. A large white van was broken into and a Hilti drill was taken from the back of the van. Again, no descriptions of vehicle or people involved. But again, if someone was in the area, might have seen something unusual, if you can contact Rathangan Gardaí at 045-524-353.
Same day again, last Wednesday, around 1 o'clock, a theft in Carton Retail Park in Maynooth.
Yeah, this theft and the previous two thefts all occurred possibly around the same time, involving the same sort of equipment taken. So there may be a connection between the three thefts. This theft occurred between 1 and 1:22 p.m. On Wednesday last in the Maynooth area, as I said. This is another van that was broken into, this time a black Citroen Berlingo. There's a number of power tools taken from the back of the van, a yellow DeWalt drill, a yellow DeWalt grinder, a box set of yellow DeWalt drills, and a green Hitachi Kango in a box. So quite a lot of things taken there, quite distinctive things. You may come across them maybe on a done deal site or something like that. So just beware if you see items matching that description up for sale.
Okay, there was a robbery then in Newbridge, Ralph.
That's right. Quite a frightening experience for the person involved. This happened at 7:15 p.m. Last Saturday, the 4th of March, on Station Road in Newbridge. The inter-party young lady had just gotten off the train, was approached by a male who pulled her handbag off and ran off in the direction of the Great Southern Estate there in Newbridge. The male is described as being very tall, skinny, Caucasian, wearing black trousers, a black jacket with a black hood, with a black scarf over his face, so basically all in black. Thankfully, there was no injury sustained in this incident, but obviously a frightening experience for the person involved.
Okay, if we go on then to burglaries, and we're going to stay in Newbridge, actually, Ralph, there was a burglary that happened in the Curragh Grange estate on Friday last.
That's right. Friday last, about 7:22 p.m. the evening there, an entry was gained to a premises through a rear patio door. There was some jewellery taken and an Apple Watch. So if anyone has any information on that, contact Newbridge Gardaí on 045-531-212.
Another burglary in Jigginstown Park in Naas on the same day.
Same day and similar time as well, so again, could be connected. This was, again, entry through the rear window, the rear of the premises. It's unknown what was taken from this premises, but again, I think could be connected to the previous burglary there.
Okay, and we keep going then with burglaries back to Newbridge again, Great Southern in Newbridge, that estate, and it was on the same day again, Friday the 3rd of March.
Same day and again around the same time as well. This was another patio door at the rear of a premises. The injured party in this case heard noises outside and saw a male attempting to gain entry to the premises. So suspects fled the scene straight away. Two people believed to be involved. The only description of the car involved is a dark-coloured saloon car. But again, judging by the proximity to the previous two burglaries, and the similar time of day may be connected to those two as well.
All right. What happened in Monastrevin then, Ralph? This was out around the Mount Rice area.
That's right. Unfortunately, another resident's broken into. There is a better description of the car involved in this incident, or believed to be involved in this incident. A blue Volkswagen Passat, a 06G Reg. It left the scene in the direction of Rathangan. So someone might have seen that car around that time of day and that date. Going in that direction, they might be able to help us in relation to the number of people on board or description of the people on board. Any information on that, if you can contact Monastrevin Gardaí on 045 525322.
Okay, that happened on Saturday the 4th of March between 5:30 and 5:50 in the evening. On that same day then, Saturday the 4th of March between 11:30 and 2:15, a burglary in Dunedee.
That's right. Unfortunately, a house was ransacked through a downstairs window that gained entry through that. Same day, earlier on in the day, to the previous burglary, so again, maybe connected. Any information on that, contact Robertstown Gardaí, please.
All right, that happened in the Coolag Martin area of Dunedee. And finally, then we go to Leixlip.
That's right. This is a burglary that occurred between 7:05 and 7:35 on Thursday, last the 2nd of March. It was an industrial premises in the Collins Town Industrial Estate in Leixlip was broken into. A lock was forced in the gate and three drums of cable were taken. Now, these would be bulky, heavy, and not easy to transport discreetly. So someone might have seen this occur or have seen these drums of cable being transported around the area at that time. Any information on that to Leixlip Gardaí on 01-666-7800.
Okay, 10 incidents in total and a number of burglaries, thefts, robberies, etc. So probably a timely reminder, Ralph, regarding the lock-up and light-up campaign.
Yeah, 100%. I suppose the best advice is usually the simplest advice. So locking all your doors and windows, turning on some lights in the evening time. If you have an alarm, please turn it on. Don't keep large amounts of cash in your house or on your premises. And if you have keys, make sure they're stored away from the letterboxes or your windows.
All right, very well said. That is Sergeant Ralph Holmes with that comprehensive roundup on Crime Watch this morning from Athy Garda Station. Thanks, Ralph, and good morning.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas, PSA licensed, 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.